الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the book أخلاق حملة القرآن by the great Imam الإمام الأجري رحمه الله تعالى, the manners of the carriers of the Quran. In our previous class, we were reading in the chapter ذكر أخلاق أهل القرآن, the mention of the manners of the people of the Quran. So the author began mentioning these etiquettes and the manners, mentioning the sifat and the attributes and the characteristics of the people of the Quran, حقاً, the true people of the Quran. And he began, rahimahullah ta'ala, directly mentioning these traits, referring first and foremost to the heart, the importance of the affair of the heart of an individual, the heart of a believer. And that the heart that is alive, then this heart will bring joy to the people because it has the joy of the Quran. And it will have happiness, and it will bring happiness because it has the light and the delight of the Quran. The Quran will be the rabi' of his heart. This is the first case. And then mentioning from that the first attribute and characteristic of that heart, he mentioned the first trait that the person of the Quran, he must apply first and foremost. Who can remind us? At-taqwa. Who can explain to us what is at-taqwa? We had basically the whole class yesterday, discussion on the issue of at-taqwa. Different benefits from the ulama. Who can summarize? Naam. That it has a meaning of prevention. The word taqwa has relationship to the meaning of al-wiqaya. It's from the same root. Naam. Aywa, that you take between. So this is the relationship. The brother mentioned the linguistic meaning of taqwa. Insan yattaqi shay'an yani yaqi nafsahu bihi yani yattaqidhu wiqayatan lahu. He will say if he fears something, he takes a wiqaya or a barrier or a shield or something that will protect him, protection, that will prevent him from the thing that he fears. But here, what are we fearing? Taqwa Allah. This is the taqwa of Allah. This is the fear of Allah. This is whenever one takes something to protect him from the punishment of Allah, to protect him from the anger of Allah. Naam? What's the reality of a taqwa? Aywa? Allahu Akbar. Aywa, MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Hadi ziyada. Zakallah khayra. Naam. Istidal al-yawm. Naam. Ah. Aywa. Naam. Aywa, thawab Allah. Aywa, ta'amal ala. أو أن تعمل به بطاعة الله وترجو عفوا على نور من الله وترجو ثواب الله. نعم. Who can remind us in English that part? Ah. What?
Obedience of Allah.
أيوة.
With the light of knowledge.
أيوة.
And the heart must involve hope.
Hope. نعم. So working in the obedience of Allah, and the meaning of التقوى أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. That you work in the obedience of Allah, complying to His commandments, based upon knowledge, with the light of iman and sincere faith, and the light of ilm, knowledge of the way to perform it properly, all the while hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. At the same time. أيوة. نعم. أيوة.
In English.
أيوة.
Obedience of Allah with the knowledge.
أيوة.
And hope for.
That's the first one. The other part. It's two aspects. One aspect is to apply the commandments. The other aspect was to, to leave off disobedience. To leave also. So to do the obedience upon knowledge, hoping for the reward. Leave off disobedience also. اجتناب النواهي. ترك المنهيات. البعد عن الحرام. Leaving off the prohibition. Staying away from the haram. How do you do it? Upon a light from Allah, knowledge with sincere faith. Likewise, at the same time, because one fears the punishment, afraid of the punishment. So here, this definition of a taqwa, who can remind us, who mentioned this definition? Talq ibn Habib. What was this definition coming from as a response to a question about how to protect oneself from fitna? The particular fitna in the question was the fitna of the khuruj, making khuruj against the ruler. But in general, any fitna, a Muslim, he'll protect himself from that fitna by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from the prohibitions, hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing His punishment, being upon knowledge and being upon a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of this. So he will stay away from the fitna, or protect himself from the fitna, or defend himself from the fitna, move away from the fitna with knowledge and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And fear of Allah Azza wa Jal by obeying Allah, not the people. Being afraid of Allah, not the people. Being afraid of one's sins, not what the people will say about him. Being afraid of the meeting and standing before Allah, not what the people will say about him. Like in the time of fitna, he will fear Allah Azza wa Jal. And at all times, but especially in the times of fitna. So the author is indicating here that this is the case. At taqwa. The first thing that a person of the Qur'an must use, if he's truly a person of the Qur'an, إِذَا كَانَ يَتْلُو كِتَابَ رَبِّهِ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. If he's really reciting the book of his Lord, if he's really following the book of his Lord, then this will show in his conduct, in his speech, and in his manners, and his actions. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us where taqwa is. Where is taqwa? Where is it at? Ha huna. In the heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at-taqwa ha huna, at-taqwa ha huna, at-taqwa ha huna, and pointing to his heart sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here, this is how the Quran can be the delight of a person's heart, by filling his heart with the love of Allah and what Allah loves, by learning what He loves in His commandments, and by loving the pleasure of Allah also means to stay away from what He dislikes by learning His prohibitions, and like this, and striving to apply that, hoping for His reward, fearing His punishment. This is the life of a Muslim. This is the life of a believer. This, my noble brothers, is the true life. We all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us this life and to make us from the people of taqwa. And this is the one that he has contentment no matter what happens to him. And anything that happens to him, he's good and happy. He's pleased and content. If there's good, he's thankful. And if there's hardship, then he's patient. And he knows it's all from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the case of a person of the Quran. This is the case of a sahib sunnah, a person of the sunnah. So he said, "Rahimahullah." فَأَوَّلَ مَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَسْتَعْمِلَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَعْمِلَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. That he use it in private and in public, not just in public, but also in private. Not just in public, but also in private. This is very important because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He sees and He hears. He sees and He hears, and He knows all things. Whenever we're in public and whenever we're in private. Whenever we're with the Muslims, whenever we're with the non-Muslims. Whenever we're in the masjid, whenever we're in the street. اتَّقِلَهَا حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah wherever you may be. This is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the manners and the first and most important etiquette of the people of the Quran. And if this etiquette is missing, then all the other etiquettes will be crumbling and falling down. And to summarize the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah. Al-ikhlas wal-mutaba'ah. to sincerely worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, striving against one's soul to do that. This is the case. Naam, this is the way of a person of the Quran, in public and in private. The author now, he mentions and he indicates into the manner of having this taqwa. He says, how would, in mentioning, and how would he use this taqwa? He says, بِاسْتِمَالِ الْوَرَعِ فِي مَطْعَمِهِ وَمَشْرَبِهِ وَمَلْبَسِهِ وَمَكْسَبِهِ. Naam, that he, the first thing that he must use and apply is the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, in private and in public. And this will be by al-wara', having wara', by using wara', applying wara' in his food and in his drink and his clothing and in his earnings. Naam. So we have another term here, al-wara'. The ulama, they mentioned the word wara', it means ijtinabu kulli ma yadurru fil akhirah. The summarization of the word al-wara', to leave off and stay away from everything that brings harm to one's hereafter. This is called wara'. It's specifically used a lot of times to indicate leaving off things that are doubtful. The one who is wari', the one who will leave off things that are the doubtful affairs, the doubtful matters, the things that are unclear. The one who doesn't get involved in them and he stays entirely away from them, this is from the wara' in his heart. Sometimes we might find that the word wara' and the word taqwa have the same translation in English. We might say, for example, translate the word taqwa as piety. And you will find also the word wara' to be translated as piety. This is the case, piety. They're both piety, but they're different in the Arabic language. We've seen the meaning of taqwa and the meaning of al-wara'. The ulama, they mention, al-abd yajtanib kull ma yadurruhu fil akhirah. That he will stay away from and leave off everything that will harm him in the hereafter. If it's harmful for his hereafter, for his meeting with his Lord, for his standing in front of his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this will bring him harm, in his what? In his food, in his drink, in his clothing, in his earnings, like this, then he will leave it off. So he will stay away from the doubtful matters. He will stay away from the haram entirely, and then likewise the doubtful matters. He knows where his food comes from. He knows what kind of food it is. It's halal food, it's good food. He knows about what he's drinking. He doesn't have doubts. He's not eating and drinking in doubtful issues. Eating from food that is doubtful. Could be haram. Is it halal? Is it haram? If it's doubtful, he'll leave it. Likewise, the drink. Likewise, his clothing. His clothing is halal. His clothing is halal. It's permissible. It's in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. It's in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the most important things that we must understand with regards to the clothing, and nasta'mil al-wara' fi malbasina or fi malabisina, is that we stay in this particular time and day and in this land particularly, is that we stay away from imitating the kuffar. In our clothing, imitating the kufar. There are other rulings likewise with regards to the clothing, but one of the most important things in these days is to not imitate them in something that is specific to them. Specific. There's some types of clothing that all people wear, and then there are some types of clothing that's specific to the kufar. A person will leave this off entirely, and likewise command his family to do the same. وَمَكْسَبِهِ وَمَكْسَبِهِ. Also, he mentioned, رَحِيمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that he would have wara' and he would have piety, and he would have this fear of Allah Azza wa Jal from falling into the haram, staying away from the haram entirely, even leaving off some of the halal, fear of the haram, using wara' with regards to his earnings. He doesn't have any doubt about his earnings. He's not selling or participating in trade and business with things that are doubtful. And if that's the case, then surely he's not participating in things that are haram. He's surely not participating in things that are haram. If he's a truck driver, he knows what's in his truck. If he's a car or taxi, he knows what he's carrying along. Because carrying things in the car or in a vehicle, some things that if a person carries it, you'll find that the Prophet ﷺ cursed him. Naam? Like there's a la'an and a curse for the one, hamil al-khamr, the one who carries the khamr. The one who carries the alcohol, the Prophet cursed him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And al-la'na, yani al-ib'ad, min rahmatillah. May he be far away from the mercy of Allah. This is what the curse means, the la'na. This is for the one who's carrying alcohol. Not like this carrying, that's included, but like carrying it in his vehicle. Carrying it from one, transporting alcohol from one place to another. This person, it would be included in this. And this supplication from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam against this individual, so a person will be far away from that, far away from that, and he would not want to take any chances with that. Just for an example, just to have an example, so he will use this water fi maksabihi. He's not going to be earning his earnings from haram, and in order to do his best to stop that, or to stay away from that, he'll even make sure that anything that's doubtful, he won't earn that either. He will not earn or delve into that business either. Rather, his transactions and his business, it comes to him in a halal manner. It comes to him in a halal manner. However the person got it, that then he will be held accountable for that. But whenever a Muslim does a transaction with another person, then his transaction is what he's held accountable for. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to buy and trade with the Yahud and Al-Medina. And it's known that they take riba and they take the money that is haram. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not worry where they got the money. What is important is how we get the money. How an individual, his transaction. Unless somebody knows that that money right there is haram directly. This money right here is stolen. He knows that dollar is stolen from somewhere. He knows that dollar right there, he just earned it from a drug deal. Na'udhu billah. For example, he knows that dollar right there in front of him is haram. Then he doesn't take it. But if somebody is mixed up, his money is mixed up, we don't ask him which one is halal, which one is haram. Somebody who has a store, he sells milk and alcohol. Na'udhu billah. If we deal with him, it's permissible that we deal with him in a permissible manner. As for where that dollar that he has came from, that doesn't concern us. Unless we know that specific money that we're taking or transaction is haram directly. As for what is mixed up, then it's permissible to deal with the people. And what is, anyone will have this wara fi maksabihi, yani whenever he makes his dealings, that he will not make a transaction that is illegal, that is impermissible, that is haram. This is the case. And this is very important. And this is from the great characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. They were upon a high level of character and conduct, and from the most specific traits of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions is that they were diligent to know about their food, and to have the food that is halal, and to have the drink that is halal, and to have the clothing that is halal and permissible, and to have the earnings that are halal and permissible. This is something that is from the great attributes and from the characteristics of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what the companions were upon, radiyallahu anhum jami'an. Now, so this is the case. Now the author, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَيُكُونُ بَصِيرًا بِزَمَانِهِ وَفَسَادِ أَهْلِهِ فَهُوَ يَحْذَرُهُمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ مَهْمُومًا بِإِصْلَاحِ مَا فَسَدَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ حَافِظًا لِلِسَانِهِ مُمَيِّزًا لِكَلَامِهِ. Allahu Akbar. The author, he's beginning now, discussing these traits in detail. What does it mean when the Qur'an is the rabi' of somebody's heart? What does it mean when the Qur'an is truly the delight of somebody's heart and the life of somebody's heart? What does it mean that whenever a person he uses and applies the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in public and in private, he says this is his case. He will have insight. What will yakunu basiran bi zamanihi? And specifically, he'll have insight with his time, with his day and age, with his community, with his environment, with the issues at hand while he is alive now. أن يكون بصيراً بزمانه وفساد أهله. So he's aware of the times. He's aware of the corruption of the people at this time. And he's aware of them. He knows about the people, and he knows about the culture, and he knows about the issues of the society, and he knows about the specific aspects of corruption in his society, in his community, and the people around him like this. Why? He says, فَهُوَ يَحْذَرُهُمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ. He's aware of what's going on in his time. He's aware of what's going on from the aspects of corruption and the aspects of deviation, from the aspects of innovation and the likes like this, from the aspects of following desires and whims and from following sins or falling into sins and committing acts of disobedience that the people fall into, especially the one that is common around that time. He's aware of it. Why? So that he can be aware of them. So that he can be aware of them. So that he can be aware of them in order to protect his deen. So his main concern and the light of his eye is his deen. So he is aware of the times. And he's aware of the corruption of the people and the aspects of their corruption, so that he can protect his religion. So that he can protect his religion. If all the people are involved, for example, in illegal types of transactions, like usury, riba. And now riba is widespread. Somebody could fall into it easy. There's people who try to make it permissible, or they try to say that this, if you buy a house like this, that it's permissible to do it in this manner. But for the ulama of the sunnah, they mentioned that a lot of these transactions are not really permissible. They came out with la riba. And then we find out that there's a riba. And they can't like this. So he'll be aware of these aspects of corruption amongst the people of his time. And then he will be aware of them so that he can protect his religion. So that he can protect his religion. What is another characteristic he mentioned? He began in this manner, مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ. مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ. Who's he concerned with? He said, she said, what so-and-so said and what Abdullah said and what Muhammad said and what they're doing and they're... مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ. He's devoted and he's concerned, he's paying attention directly to his own affair. To his own affair. He's worried about his deen. He's worried about his hereafter. He's worried about his jannah. He's worried about his grave. مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ. Huh? So he's not worried about when that so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that and so-and-so is this and so-and-so is that. And did you hear what so-and-so's son did? And I heard so-and-so's daughter is like this. And what about so-and-so? I knew he was like that. Nah. مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ مَهْمُومًا بِإِصْلَاحِ مَا فَسَدَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. And his complete concern is about what is corrupted from his own affair. What has been corrupt from his own affair. He's worried about his own mistakes. He's worried about his own deficiencies. He's worried about what is corrupted from his own heart. He's worried about his own sins, not the other people's. This is the first thing he mentions here, beginning like this. This is what it means to be pious and righteous. May Allah give us the ability to follow this benefits that he is mentioning. And to be from the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preferred and chosen and made them from those who are pious and righteous. This requires lots of effort. He's speaking about a high level of people. Ahlullahi wa khasatuhu. And these are the special ones of Allah azza wa jal. This is their case. But a Muslim, he will never have despair of the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. That he would have mercy on him and raise his status and rank. مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ مَهْمُومًا بِإِصْلَاحِ مَا فَسَدَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. Huh? Everybody understand that? He's concerned about himself. He's dedicated to himself. He's worried about what is corrupt from his own life. Naam, and then what does he say? Beginning with the very first thing. حَافِظًا لِلِسَانِهِ مُمَيِّزًا لِكَلَامِهِ. He is guarding his tongue. Guarding his tongue. SubhanAllah. Look how he mentioned about this. He began, the first thing is that the Quran has to be the life of the heart. The delight of the heart. The joy of the heart. How would that be? By using taqwa. Where is taqwa? Ha huna, ha huna, ha huna. The taqwa is in the heart. So he's indicating the importance of the heart. And we know that from the principles and from the fundamental issues of being upright on the straight path. Is to have the heart be upright. Is the istiqamatul qalb. Is that the heart is upright. And this is with the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is from pondering on the Quran of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then after that, the heart cannot be upright unless the tongue is upright. The tongue is upright. He mentioned here in this order like this. He mentioned the first thing, to have taqwa. And then to worry about yourself. And he's worried about himself. And he's looking and taking himself into account. What is corrupt from my own affair? Devoted to and concerned about looking at his own issue, the first thing he's doing, حَافِظًا لِلِسَانِهِ. Huh? SubhanAllah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, an authentic narration by Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu that لا يستقيم إيمان العبد حتى يستقيم قلبه ولا يستقيم قلبه حتى يستقيم لسانه. Subhanallah. He's summarizing these narrations for us and the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all in these few pages. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the iman لا يستقيم إيمان أحدكم حتى يستقيم قلبه, that the iman of an individual, his taqwa, his piety, his tawheed, his aqeedah, his creed, his iman, his faith, the piety and righteousness in his heart will not be upright until his heart is upright. And his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright. So he's telling us here, this is the first thing we have to be worried about if we want to be from the people of the Quran. The heart. I'm not digging in his heart. I'm digging in my heart. I'm not worried about his tongue. I'm worried about my tongue. حَافِظًا لِلِسَانِهِ مُمَيِّزًا لِكَلَامِهِ, distinguishing his speech. And this is only explaining. What does it mean to protect one's tongue? مُمَيِّزًا لِكَلَامِهِ, he's distinguishing his speech. When do you do that? When would one be considered that he's a person who distinguishes his speech? When do you distinguish, like if you want to be like this, in this manner? Guarding your tongue, distinguishing your speech. مَتَى تُمَيِّزَ الْكَلَامِ, قبل الكلام أو بعده؟ قبله. نعم أحسنتم. اللهم بارك. نعم, before he speaks. يعني مميزا لكلامه, يعني يفكر فيما يقول. هل هو نافع؟ هل هو السواب؟ هل هو مفيد؟ هل هو لائق لهذا الوقت؟ ولهذا الشخص؟ Like this, he's thinking, is this speech beneficial right now? Is this the right time to say it? Is this person going to understand if I mention it in this way? He will think like this. He will think like this. This is from the manners of the Salaf. As-Salaf as-Salih. They were people who used to think before they speak. Anybody who knows and has experienced and they have let their tongue loose, they regret it many times. And the one who, he said, man, if I wouldn't, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. The one who doesn't have any reins on the tongue, he will regret. But the one who is like this, he thinks before he speaks, he doesn't regret. He doesn't regret. He thinks before he speaks like this. And this is very, very important. And a person can save himself from a lot of trouble by trying to follow this advice. And يُمَيِّزَ كَلَامَهُ قَبَلًا يَنْطِقَ بِهِ, that he would distinguish his speech before he says it. With the family, with the children, with the father and the mother, with the people in the street. Sometimes somebody might say something to an individual and they want to provoke them. If a person, he becomes provoked easy, then he's going to say things, and then later when he calms down, he's going to wish he never said anything. He was going to ask, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. But this is the trait, one of the first traits of a person of the Quran, a person of hadith, the person of the sunnah, is what? Truly, that he distinguishes his speech. He distinguishes his speech. Now, what does he say about this? He says, إِن تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ بِعِلْمِ وَإِذَا رَأَى الْكَلَامَ صَوَابًا وَإِن سَكَتَ سَكَتَ بِعِلْمِ إِذَا كَانَ السُّكُوتُ صَوَابًا قَلِيلُ الْخَوْضِ فِي مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ يَخَافُ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ أَشَدَّ مِمَّا يَخَافُ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ يَحْبِسُ لِسَانَهُ كَحَبْسِهِ لِعَدُوِّهِ لِيَأْمَنَ مِنْ شَرِّهِ وَسُوِ عَاقِبَتِهِ. الله أكبر. He says, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Al-Imam Al-Ajuri, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that, and now he's going to explain to us, what does it mean to guard the tongue? What does it mean to distinguish one's speech? He says, if he speaks, he speaks with knowledge. And that is, if he sees to speak at this time is correct. So whenever he speaks with knowledge, not with ignorance, not with desires, not with whims, not with what I like, or what with one thinks. He speaks with knowledge. That's if he sees or he finds that speaking at that moment is correct. Because sometimes somebody may know something, but it's not the correct time to say it. And sometimes maybe it's not only the correct time to say it, but maybe an individual is not the correct one to mention it. Some people, they have to be addressed in a proper manner. And all people, they have to. They have to be dressed in a proper manner. But some people are different than others. Some people might not accept the advice from me, but if you mention the same thing, they'll accept it from you. And vice versa. Sometimes somebody might be angry or upset, or he might be in a situation or in a, having a problem, and he won't accept the speech at that time. If you wait till they calm down a little bit, and the anger goes away, or the temper goes away, or the situation that they're in calms down, and then you mention the speech, it'll be beneficial for them. But if somebody mentions it, like for example, when they're angry or whenever they're upset or when they're and the likes like this, then they might reject it. Not because they want to reject your speech or the person or reject the truth, but because it's not the right time for them to be addressed with the issue. You have to wait for the right time. So this is what he's mentioning here. تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ بِعِلْمٍ إِذَا رَأَى الْكَلَامَ السَّوَابًا. And if he speaks with knowledge. If he speaks with knowledge. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has a chapter with regards to this. Who knows the title? Bab al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Naam. Babun al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Naam. This is this case of a person of the Quran. This is the case of a person of the Sunnah. This is the case of a Muslim. That he speaks with knowledge. He doesn't speak with desires. He doesn't speak with whims. He doesn't speak upon ignorance. If he doesn't know, he says, I don't know. Allahu A'lam. This is the case. Especially if it's related to deen. Especially if it's related to deen, to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will say, Allahu A'lam. I don't know. If he doesn't know. If he knows, he will speak according to his knowledge. This is what is required from every Muslim. And from the students of knowledge specifically. And from every Muslim, likewise, that if they have some truth and they know something from the Quran and they know some benefit from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or some statements of the Sahaba or good understanding of the book, then they convey that according to their knowledge, if they know it's correct. A person speaks according to the knowledge that he has. As for what he doesn't know, Allahu a'lam, I don't know. And a Muslim will never be afraid to say, I don't know. The ulama, they used to say that this is a sign of a person's knowledge. This is a sign that he has knowledge. That he says, I don't know. Subhanallah, so many times in the gathering of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhahullah, we hear him say, I don't know. More than 6 times in 10 minutes. Or like, I don't know, Allahu A'lam. Many times, I memorized a word from him. He said, Is'al Ghayri. Ask somebody else. He would say this, like this. I don't know. La adri is'al Ghayri. I don't know. Ask somebody else. In a gathering, in the Prophet's messages, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many people, I don't know. If he doesn't know, I don't know. Even today, I heard his class, alhamdulillah, he says, nasitu, I forgot. La tadhakkar, I don't remember. And it is the case. This is not a aib. This is not a fault. What the fault is to speak about the deen of Allah azza wa jalla without knowledge. Even to speak about the dunya without knowledge, nobody would praise this person. So in تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ بِعِلْمٍ. This is very important. A manner that a Muslim, he will discipline himself like this. Imagine if somebody was speaking about the car, for example. The car broke down. Dunya. This is dunya. The car broke down. The engine broke down. He knows nothing about the engine. He grabs some, he thinks the oil, right? He want to change the oil. He put it, he doesn't know. He just popped the cap and put it in. What if it's in the radiator? He doesn't know what's going to happen. Somebody, he tries to, or if he tells somebody, no, just put the oil right here. It's the water. If he doesn't know, there's many places to put. So the person who speaks without knowledge, he's going to lead somebody to danger, to harm. He's going to mess the situation up if he doesn't harm them. Like this, if he applies likewise without knowledge, that's if he speaks without knowledge. If he speaks without knowledge, what's going to happen? Is going to have any failure, at least. Failure. And if he acts without knowledge, likewise. We've seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the man who killed 99 men. And he went to the person and asked about that, a person that didn't have knowledge. And he said, no, you'll never be forgiven. What happened? It was a devastation for him. He was killed, speaking without knowledge. Speaking about the deen of Allah without knowledge. Speaking about the dunya without knowledge, likewise. This is blameworthy. And anybody who would do this, then you will find that he will lead himself to failure or he will harm others. If he works without knowledge and he tries to apply something without knowledge, likewise, the same outcome. So, al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, this is a fundamental principle for every Muslim in his life, that knowledge precedes speech and action. If I don't have knowledge, I say I don't know. If I don't have knowledge, I don't get involved. This is the case. In takallama takallama bi-ilm. And this is if he sees that speaking is good. وَإِن سَكَتَ سَكَتَ بِعِلْمٍ. Also, likewise, if he's silent, he didn't say anything, he's silent based upon knowledge. Because not always is silent a good thing. Being silent is a good thing. Sometimes, rather, it's an obligation to speak. Somebody, for example, is committing something that is haram, falling into haram, or he is he's falling short in his obligations, and just to be quiet about him and let him go like this, this is not from the nasiha that's required from every Muslim. So at this time, it's not permissible to be silent. Rather, what is it, obligation is to speak. But then again, it will be at the right time and in the right manner, and the right place, and the likes like this. So if he's silent, he's silent based upon knowledge. If he's silent, he's silent based upon knowledge. إِذَا كَانَ السُّكُوتُ سُوَابًا. That is the case, that if being silent is correct. If being silent is correct. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned about the tongue. This is the case. So he's advising the person of the Quran, or mentioning that their traits is the trait first that he has piety and his heart is upright. Then he's guarding his tongue. And there's a narration of Mu'adh ibn Jabir radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, and Mu'adh asked him, and what will enter him into paradise, and what will take him far away from the hellfire? نعم. The Prophet, he said, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة. يدخلني الجنة. ويبعدني عن النار. Tell me about something that I can do that it will enter me into paradise, and that will take me away from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that verily you asked about something great, but verily it's easy for the one that Allah makes it easy for. And then he mentioned to him the pillars of Islam. And then after that, he mentioned to him the great deeds of worship from the non-obligatory acts. Fasting and the night prayer and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to him the means to enter paradise. He said, "Ta'budu Allaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'an." And then he mentioned the salat and so on, the pillars of Islam. And then he says, "Ala ukhbiruka bi abwab al-khair." He said, "Should I tell you about the avenues and the doors of goodness?" He said, "Sure." He mentioned to him the sadaqah. He mentioned to him the sawm. He mentioned to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam the salat al-layl, salat al-layl, the night prayer. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّي. He said, "Should I not tell you what is in charge of all of that?" He said, "بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ." He said, "Huh?" He took his tongue like this. He said, "أَمْسِكَ لَكَ هَذَا." And he, control your tongue. Control this right here. And he, meaning that this right here, this tongue right here, it can destroy the whole pillar. The shahada can go away. Can be removed entirely by the statement. Somebody can make a statement, A'udhu billah, of shirk, and just wipe out the whole shahada. All of his salat go away, bye-bye. No, he could leave the deen like this. All of his, the hajj, the zakat, everything. If he didn't speak with a statement of shirk, A'udhu billah, but he didn't watch his tongue, and he stayed less than shirk, but because of his speech, because of his tongue, all his salat, the reward is being diminished. His charity, the reward is being diminished. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, he mentioned in authentic narration, "Should I not tell you about who is the muflis? O man al-muflis fikum, who is the one who is a bankrupt amongst you?" And they said, "The one that has no money, and he has no money and no property. La mala lahu wa la mata'a." He has no property, he has no wealth. He said, "Inna al-muflis min ummati man yati yawm al-qiyamah." The one who is muflis from my ummah is the one who comes on the day of judgment. And he has salat, and he has sadaqah, and he has the deeds, the good deeds. But قَدْ شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا وَأَخَذَ مَالَ هَذَا. But rather he spoke bad about this person, he lied on that person, he cursed out this person, he took the wealth of this person, he hit that person like this. So then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam that his good deeds will be taken and given to him until there is a recompense and justice is made. If he still owes people rights, and he runs out of good deeds himself, then they will be recompensed until the justice is made, and the good deeds will be thrown on his back, and he will be thrown in the hellfire. Their bad deeds will be put on him, until the recompense is made, and he'll be tossed in the hellfire. Na'udhu billah. All of this because, from the reason of that, the tongue. The tongue. So this is a very important issue, that a person, he will preserve his tongue, and that he will think about what he says, and that he will be diligent to say that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not say that which is pleasing displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, قَلِيلُ الْخَوْضِ فِيمَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. He rarely delves into that which does not concern him. He does not delve into that which does not concern him, and he fears from his tongue more severe than he fears from his enemy. He's afraid of his tongue more than he is afraid of his enemy. Why? And you can understand, he's afraid of his tongue. Right here, the tongue in his mouth, his own. More than he's afraid of his enemy. His enemy maybe has a gun, maybe he has a knife, maybe he wants to rob him, maybe he wants to steal him, maybe he wants to kill him. More afraid than that, of that enemy, he's more afraid of him. What is he more afraid of than him? His tongue. Why?
It's supposed to sins.
Ah. Nam. Which is related? You're right. The sins. Nam. The brother mentioned this because the tongue has sin, will bring about sins. And they're both harmful. Let's put it this way. They're both harmful. Sah? He's mentioning here that the tongue is harmful and the enemy is harmful. Then, no doubt, the enemy wants to harm the person. But he's more afraid of the harm of his tongue than the harm of the enemy. Why? Because the harm of the tongue will affect his hereafter. So his concern is the hereafter. What he's worried about is his hereafter. The dunya is going to go away, no doubt. The dunya, what he will get is from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, that doesn't mean a person will be foolish or he act like a fool and not be afraid of the enemy and that he will move any recklessly. That. But more afraid of his enemy, more afraid of the harm in the dunya, more afraid of the physical harm, he's afraid of the harm of his iman, of his piety. He is preserving his heart and he's preserving his hereafter. He's afraid of his tongue because the ill effects of the tongue will harm his hereafter. As for the enemy, he will just be able to harm his dunya. So then the main concern of a person of the Quran and the person of the Sunnah is the hereafter. Is the hereafter. That doesn't mean a person would leave off the dunya. No, he can have a portion of the dunya, alhamdulillah, as long as he stays in the limits. But the main concern is the hereafter. The main concern is the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the return to Allah azza wa jalla. So he's afraid of this more than he's afraid of his enemy. This is, he's making a comparison so that we can see the danger of the tongue. And how the reality that is very dangerous. That is very dangerous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in authentic narrations mentioned that a person, he may yatakallam bi kalima la yuqti laha ba'da. He will say a statement, he will not even think anything about it. And he will fall into the hellfire in his 70 years as has come in the narration. And in the depths of the hellfire. Why? Because of a statement that he said. Mentioned about something or somebody or the likes like this, not even paying any attention to it. So then he says here that and he's more afraid of his tongue than he is of his enemy, and he refrains his tongue the same way he would refrain his enemy. And he would keep his tongue refrained and in check the same way that he would keep his enemy at bay. Why? He says, لِيَأْمَنَ مِنْ شَرِّهِ وَسُوِي عَقِبَتِهِ, so that he can be safe from the evil of the tongue and the evil outcome of the tongue. From the evil of the tongue and the evil outcome of the tongue. Indicating here likewise that a person of the Quran, a person of the Sunnah, a person of wisdom, a person of success, he thinks about the outcome of the affairs. He thinks about the outcome of the affairs. وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the outcome is for the pious and the righteous. قَلِيلُ الْخَوْضِ فِيمَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. He doesn't delve into that which is not concerning him. This is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la yanihi." The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, authentic narration, "Min husni islam al-mar'i," from the good Islam of an individual, "tarkuhu ma la yanihi," that he will leave off that which does not concern him. that he will leave off that which does not concern him. So leaving off that which does not concern an individual, this is from the good Islam of a person. Meaning that a person's Islam is not good until he leaves off that which does not concern him. This doesn't mean that he leaves off that which he's not concerned with, that he doesn't care about. Rather, what concerns him is the obligations of Allah Azza wa Jal and the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal and what is required required from him with regards to his deen. This is what concerns an individual. So then what one would leave off what does not concern him, then that means that he will be concerned with what does concern him. And that is his heart. And that is his tongue. That is his body parts. And that is his hereafter. So he'll be worried about his hereafter. The one who left off what does not concern him from the speech of the people and from the he said, she said, and from the things that go on here and the things that go on there like this, and from the issues likewise, from the things of innovation and misguidance and from the sins, all of this does not concern a Muslim. Rather, he'll stay away from it. And he'll be concerned with what does concern him. And that is his deen. And that is his deen. So likewise, leaving off that which is not permissible, this is considered from the good Islam of a person. And the one who does not leave off these things that do not concern him, then that means that his Islam is not good. And he has deficiency in his Islam. So the author, he mentioned here, he says, وَقَلِيرُ الضَّحِكُ فِيمَا يَضْحَكُ فِيهِ النَّاسِ لِسُوءِ عَقِبَةِ الضَّحِكِ إِنْ سُرَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِمَّا يُوَافِقُ الْحَقِّ تَبَسَّمَ يَكْرَهُ الْمِزَاحَ خَوْفًا مِنَ اللَّعَبِ فَإِنْ مَزَحَ قَالَ حَقًّا بَاسِطُ الْوَجْهِ طَيِّبُ الْكَلَامِ. He mentioned, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that he laughs, al-dahik, and he laughs rarely with regards to that which the people are laughing about. And when he says laughing, and going overboard and laughing, laughing with in a hilarious manner. It's been mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ in some narrations that he laughed in certain situations, but the majority of the time the Prophet ﷺ, he would smile. If he seen something that was delighting, then he would smile sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was known to be mubtasiman, and that he was always seen smiling sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with delight on his face and joy on his face. But speaking about laughing, like laughing and joking and going to extremes and just opening the mouth real big and laughing with a real loud voice, he wouldn't be involved in these type of things like this. This is not from the muru'ah of a person, of a man, or a person of the sunnah, likewise a woman, that they're laugh loud and joking like this, especially in the masjid or in the outside in public. And even in the home, a person, he would not go to extremes in laughing like this. He says, why? Because it has a bad outcome. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that laughing too much can kill the heart. An authentic narration that it can kill the heart. Any meaning that he will stop taking life seriously. The one who's always joking and laughing and playing, and then he falls into playing and taking things lightly. They're taking things lightly. The dunya becomes light, and the deen becomes light, and everything's a joke, and everything's a laugh, and he can't take anything serious. And as a result of that, people don't take him serious anymore. He became known as a joker, always laughing and joking and playing. He's never serious. This is the case. He said he would stay away from this. He said if he is happy or because of something, and he finds joy or happiness from something that is in accordance with the truth, then he will smile. He's mentioning a great point here. Likewise, is that he says, "In surra bi shay'in mimma yuwafiqu al-haq." If he's happy about something that is in accordance with the truth, then what will he do? He will smile, tabassum. Meaning that whenever somebody, for example, he says something funny, but it's not true, it's a lie, he won't laugh at that. Or if somebody says a statement of falsehood and the people laugh, this is not funny to him. What he would find funny or delightful like this, and he would smile about, is something that is true. The Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned about a wail to the one. Wail. Any destruction, halak, for the individual. يُحَدِّثُ النَّاسِ فَيَكْذِبُ لِيُضْحِكَ الْقَوْمِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the one wail for the one who he speaks to the people and he lies to make them laugh. Wail lahu. Wail lahu. May he be destroyed. This is a supplication of destruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a person who speaks and he tells a lie with the intention of making people laugh. So then a person of the sunnah, if he hears people doing this, he won't laugh at this. It's not funny for him, people lying. But he'll laugh at something that is permissible. And he will smile. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.